Welcome back into the program on this Monday. We are finally at week one of the college football season in 2013, and we finally made it. We've been counting down since 140-some-odd days, and the summer has finally passed, and college football season is here. And this is always one of my favorite shows of the year. We have Kelly Kitchens on before the college football season to tell us what's going to happen, well, at least in his opinion, that is, and he always has some colorful comments. And Kelly from 680 The Fan in Atlanta, he produces The Rude Awakening, and we are pleased to welcome him to the program. Kelly, how are you? It's been a long time since
you've
been on.
It's been a while, man. How have you been?
Well, I'm well, but I think everyone in this part of the country, as you know, is just feverishly just trying to pass the time of day until Thursday night at about 5 p.m. when ESPN comes on.
I know, it's finally game week. It almost feels surreal, doesn't it?
It does. Well, let's start in a place you know well, and that, of course, is Florida, your team in Gainesville, and what Will Muschamp has done here. I was impressed with the job he did last year. I know everybody wants to make a big deal out of the bowl game, but I don't really care. I thought the 11-1 regular season was good, but, man, you look at the schedule this year, and you just get a headache.
Well, it's one of those things that this could be a better Florida team than last year, and the record could not prove it. You got Miami and Florida State out of conference, then your usual LSU, South Carolina, LSU, South Carolina, and then you got Georgia. I mean, this schedule could be the toughest schedule in the country. So you may see a progression as the team goes, but maybe a fall back on as far as the results go.
How big of a key is Jeff Driscoll? If he were to go down, what kind of a loss is that to this team?
I think that's a huge loss, because this year, with some of the losses on defense, they've got four starters returning. You've got to look. This is supposed to be a progression where the offense kind of steps up, and we'll see. I mean, Florida's got some guys. They've battled some serious injuries in the spring and in the offseason, so we'll see how the offense progresses.
Elsewhere in the East, you have Steve Spurrier's team this year. I picked them to win the East. I think I'm very high on the Gamecocks, but I think a lot of it depends on their defense and Jadeveon Clowney. And then you have Georgia. Georgia, of course, we know they won it last year and fell just short from Alabama from going to the national championship game. So, if you had to pick a champion today from that division, who would you go with?
I would probably go with South Carolina. I think Georgia. They're also replacing nine starters on defense. And you look at those guys, if they can make it out of the month of September, it's going to tell you Georgia's fade. You know, they open at Clemson. They come home and play South Carolina. They have a kind of a nobody school the third week, and then they've got LSU coming in. So I think the tail of the tape will be Georgia's season in the month of September. But I like South Carolina. And Spurrier in the all season, I've noticed being, you know, down at Florida and being covering Florida, when he starts running his mouth and kind of having some fun, he thinks he's got a good team, and that's kind of what I've heard from him in the offseason.
No question. And you're right about Georgia. September's a good month to be a Georgia season ticket holder. You have South Carolina and LSU coming to town. Well, what about, you know, the story here in Central Alabama is the Crimson Tide, and can they three-peat in history and all that? Nick Saban's team, of course, another talented team, but do you think they can do it this year, or do you think somebody will get them this year and they won't be able to get back in that game?
I think Alabama's sitting in a good spot, and they've got the schedule. I mean, we know about them replacing the three offensive linemen. Maybe that's their weakness, but I don't see that being much of a weakness. If they can get through Texas A&M, I mean, you look like you're smooth skating until you get to LSU, so... You get LSU at home, and then you set back up for an SEC championship and another run at a national title.
I haven't gotten your thoughts on Johnny Manziel and everything that has become, but just talk about what he's been through this offseason with everything from the off-the-field stuff to the NCAA, and who knows what else will come out this week, and do you think he'll play?
I think we're looking at the Cam Newton model, and unless they tell him that he's not going to play until Texas A&M, he won't play. He's going to play, because you've got no reason. If you go walk into that September 14th game against Alabama without him playing, you know you're going to lose. So you might as well roll the dice, let him play if it's up in the air, and then let them come back and take the game from you. You have nothing to lose. So I think his all season's been absolutely ridiculous, maybe an understatement. I mean, the kid, everyone's saying wait till football season, but at some point they kind of all about me is going to translate to the football team. So I think it's been just a train wreck, to say the least, for Texas A&M.
We're chatting with Kelly Kitchens from 680 The Fan in Atlanta, the producer of The Rude Awakening. Kelly, which coach in the SEC is on the hottest seat this year? And, we talk every year, it seems like Mark Richt. Well, if he doesn't beat Clemson or South Carolina, does his seat become hot? Does Gary Pinkel become hot? And what about Will Muschamp? And I know you like to follow Florida. I mean, last year was a very good year, but how much of a leash does he have in Florida before the Gator fans might get a little restless?
I think he's got probably another year before they get a little restless, because I think a lot of people are starting to figure out just how bad Urban Meyer left that situation in there, and Gator fans. Now, Gator fans aren't going to wait too long on getting the shit righted, but I think he's got about another year of equity built up. And as far as Gary Pinkel, there really isn't, for once, a real, real hot name. I mean, a big name on the hot seat going into this season. Maybe Gary Pinkel. I mean, if he has another disastrous season, maybe you point at him. But you look around the SEC, and for once, you don't see with the coaching turnover, you don't see that much of a real, this coach has got to get it done or get out. So,
well, Auburn fans are.
If you made me choose one, I would go there.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I would agree with you. I think there aren't a lot of hot seats. Gary Pinkel is certainly the hottest one of all of them. Auburn fans are excited about the change of direction, and just anything is positive news for Auburn fans after last year's 3-9 season. But my question to you is, what is a realistic win total for Auburn this year you think that they should be satisfied with all the transition that's taking place?
I'd say 7 wins.
Yeah.
I mean, 6-7 wins. I mean, let's not get out of control. I understand Gus Malzahn, everyone's excited about the offense, but you don't have a proven quarterback. And
right.
For his system to work like it should, you need a proven quarterback. I think they'll win some games. They'll look a lot better. I think Ellis Johnson was probably one of the best hires in the offseason. So I think you'll start to see that Auburn defense back to where Auburn fans expect it to be. But I'd say 7 wins would be about what I'm looking for with Auburn.
Well, I think that's fair, and I think that's hopefully Auburn fans won't be too disappointed. I think reaching a bowl game, but you never know in this state.
That's right.
Well, Kelly, I know I haven't talked to you since the NBA Finals. I know this is an odd thing to bring up on the first weekend of college football, but I know you have to be pleased with your Miami Heat winning the NBA Finals this year.
I was basking in the glory. I went down for game one, and we got beat. And it was a funny story. I got delayed in Atlanta, and I got to Miami. They ended up flying around the storm. Well, I landed 45 minutes before tip-off. I got to the arena right as they tipped off, and I got to see them get beat in game one. But they came back and won, and I was beyond thrilled. But, yeah, it was a good season, and it'll be interesting once they get for the three-peat.
It will indeed. Well, Kelly, great stuff as always, and we appreciate you joining us, and we'll talk soon.
All right, Bun, good catching up with you, bud.
This is Jacob Bun for the program here on the first week of college football. We'll be back with you later in the week and discuss more then, but stay tuned here to BunSports.com. We'll have all of the relevant information as week one continues. I'm Jacob Bun.